I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. In the midst of municipal elections in British Columbia, let's look at some of the issues voters in this region will encounter when deciding on who to vote for on Saturday, the 20th of October. Kelvin Gawley, reporter for the Burnaby Now, joins me to talk about what's happening there, as well as the issues we're all contending with in the region. For the first time, longtime Burnaby Mayor Derek Corrigan is facing a serious challenger. What does that mean about his time as mayor and how the city has changed as a result? The leading contender in Vancouver's mayoralty race was a member of parliament in Burnaby for a while. What's his record there, and what's and what that might mean here in Vancouver? There's also Jagmeet Singh's run in Burnaby Douglas to replace Stewart. Whether he wins or loses, it'll have implications for the NDP going into next year's federal election. And, of course, pipelines. Burnaby has seen protests and blockades over resource extraction and transportation across parts of the country that invariably go through Burnaby. Mr. Gawley has been at the front line reporting on this important story. Kelvin Gawley joined the Burnaby Now this year after reporting for the Langley Times and the Abbotsford News. That's where a lot of us started noticing his diligent reporting and hard work. He is a graduate of Langara College's journalism department. At Kelvin Gawley is the Twitter handle. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Kelvin Gawley. Mr. Gawley, good morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. You've hit Burnaby at an especially good time because of what's happening there. Like most parts of this part of the world, this region, Metro Vancouver, it's changing a great deal. It's been changing a great deal for a long time, but because of an election, that adds, you know, I mean, it's great for a reporter, isn't it?
Oh, it's yeah. And I started, you know, it's been about just over 4 months that I started there, and I just hit the ground running. You know, my two main areas of coverage are the pipeline and city politics, and also, you know, federal and provincial politics as they relate to Burnaby. And yeah, it's just been pretty much a breakneck speed ever since I got there. You know, the pipeline, as far as news goes, it's slowed down a little bit, but for a while there, I was doing about a story a day related to the pipeline, you know, Camp Cloud,
yeah.
You know, local politics, the different court cases against it. And then, of course, you know, the civic election, which is, at least for the mayor's chair, is probably the most interesting it's been in probably well over a decade.
Yeah, Camp Cloud especially. I mean, that was a particular, well, those were long days, weren't they?
There were some very long days, especially the eviction day in particular. I was there. I got a tip at 1 a.m. I knew that you know, the eviction was coming at some point that week. I had heard some rumors that it was going to happen on this day, but nothing as far as time and stuff. But then at 1 a.m., luckily, I woke up when my phone rang, and one of the people in the camp did tip me off that they had heard that the police were going to run in at 5 a.m., so I was up there by 3:30 a.m., and I was one of only two members of the media that were there when they came in and started putting handcuffs on people.
We saw you on television throughout the day, I guess, because, you know, you'd see reporters, you know, and you'd be right there with your camera, with your notes and the sort. When a story like that happens, and it has import not only in the wider world, especially, you know, nationally, because, I mean, a lot of people were talking about that and talking about issues. We're talking about issues like this in the news a lot. When you're in a community like Burnaby, that's something that obviously people there are greatly concerned about, isn't it? I mean, that there is a group of people willing to protest. I mean, that must mean it's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's you know, it's been a very contentious. You know, those stories, especially related to Camp Cloud, you know, they got the most comments and the most emails received, the most letters to the editor, you know, from all sides. You know, you had people that just, you know, thought they were the scum of the earth and they should be cleared out, and you had people that were, you know, against the pipeline but felt like it was time for the camps to go, and then there's people that lived right in that neighborhood that were really happy to see them there every day, that were, you know, bringing them food and stuff like that. And yeah, so it was definitely a lot of interest focused in on that one story.
A lot of people thought that his opposition to the pipelines, Derek Corrigan, would help him in this year's election. There's been a wrinkle in that because of a challenger to him. You reported late last week that there was a poll showing Corrigan and Mike Hurley, the main challenger, neck and neck. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that was, like, mind-blowing. It was, you know, it was a Friday. It was about 3 a.m. before the long – sorry, 3 p.m. before the long weekend. And, you know, we'd been talking for quite a while about, you know, is this really a race? Because Corrigan usually walks through elections. You know, just a few months ago, he told me, you know, I'm never nervous about the race. That was a direct quote. In 2014, he won with something like 67% of the vote. You know, the next challenger had about 20.
And he's been there for a while, right? I mean,
yes.
Not just as mayor, but as a member of council, right?
Yeah, he's been comfortably a mayor of council for 31 years now. Mm-hmm. He's been mayor for 16, but he was a councillor before that.
Yeah. Where did Hurley come out of? I mean, was he a member of council before? Or?
No, he's never been involved in politics before. So this is his first foray. He's from Northern Ireland originally, but he's lived in Canada for many decades. He's a firefighter. You know, I think he got as high as rank as fire captain. And then he was also and is very involved with the firefighters union. He was the local president, and now he sits. He's the vice president of one of their districts. This is the big international firefighters union. So he uses that as, you know, arguing for, you know, why he's qualified for the job. I spoke to him the other day, and he talked about. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's like, you know, I'm managing like an $80 million budget and this and that kind of thing. So that's sort of how he argues for his qualification for the job.
And I guess he was endorsed by a particular labor council, wasn't he?
Yes.
Which had endorsed Corrigan heretofore.
Yeah. So the new Westminster and District Labor Council, their membership gets together and the name New West is in there, but they cover a big area of the Lower Mainland, and Burnaby being one of them. And yeah, so they get together and their delegates vote on who to endorse.
Mm-hmm.
So back, I think it was early summer or late spring, I had started hearing rumors and getting tips that the district wasn't going to endorse Corrigan and wasn't going to endorse any of his party members for council, who hold all the seats on council and have for the last three elections. And that's how they voted. They voted to endorse Hurley, and then they initially voted to only endorse one BCA member who's not on council, and then the seven who are incumbent, they declined to endorse. But they've since voted again, and they voted to endorse all of those members of the BCA for council, but they still are going with Hurley, which is pretty unusual and pretty surprising.
So what does that say then about Corrigan's tenure as mayor? I mean, the word dem eviction, I mean, that comes up a lot. Because that's happening in the city of Burnaby, and it has been happening for quite some time. His role in that, I guess, is that why people are, say, turning away from him this time around?
I would say if people have voted for him in the past and they're not going to that time, you know, I don't have any polling to back this up, but I'm very confident that would be the number one issue. Yeah.
The other thing I was just thinking about, this one poll that came out last week. Has Burnaby generally had polls done for further elections? Probably not, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm new to Burnaby. You know, lots of people, myself included, on Twitter have been calling for polls, asking for polls, you know, asking Mario Canseco to do a poll.
Yeah.
But then this one, we didn't know it was coming. And, yeah, it just came to us on a Friday afternoon. And, you know, Corrigan was at 43% and Hurley was at 42%, which is basically within the margin of error. So it's a virtual dead heat as far as we can tell.
And so I used the word dem eviction earlier with regards to Corrigan, but that's been used a lot in Vancouver because of Kennedy Stewart, because he was the MP there for a number of years. What's your sense in terms of Kennedy Stewart's, say, performance as an MP there? And do you think that role, whatever that might be, perceived or otherwise, might factor in if one is considering to vote for him in Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been dogging him, it seems, in the Vancouver election. It's, you know, most of the interviews I've seen and the stories about him I've seen have brought up that issue. I've asked him about it. It seems like every other reporter in the area has asked him about it. You know, he's now been fond to call it a smear campaign. He says, you know, it's totally unfair that he did fight for these people. He brings up the fact that his first term as MP was just in North Van. It wasn't in Burnaby. Hmm. But it doesn't seem to be working for at least some people who think he should have done more to, you know, confront Corrigan on the issue and, you know, the Burnaby Council.
What are some of the other issues at Burnabyites? Is that the word for them? Or Burnabyers?
That's actually funny that you bring that up. I saw a a discussion about that on Twitter there. There's no consensus on what the correct word is. I know there's a there's a Burnaby brewery that says the word is Burnabarian, and they have a
Sounds good. Yeah,
yeah, they have a beer with that name.
Sounds like a marketing thing, but we'll take it. what are they telling you as you're working the beat there in Burnaby, walking the streets in terms of covering that part of the world? I mean, affordability. I guess that's something that the whole region's contending with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think except for maybe Surrey, I think almost every municipality in the area, the number one issue is housing, and that's certainly true. And in Burnaby, you know, in what the big which housing issue is the biggest and most pressing is different in each city. In Burnaby, it's definitely those dem evictions in Metro Town. You know, there's a stat that you know I use and point out and fairly often is that between 2010 and 2017, Burnaby lost, I think it's 712 units of rental housing. Most of that being in the Metro Town area, where like these walk up older purpose built rental buildings,
three four stories
knocked down to build these, you know, these giant condo towers, and that's the big issue. That's what's really been you know, what the BCA, which is the ruling party, is most harshly criticized for. There's definitely, there's transportation issues. People, especially in North Burnaby, are worried about rat running of commuters through the residential streets, and then the pipeline. If you ask Corrigan, the top issue is the pipeline. He says that when he's door knocking, that's the number one thing people bring up to them, and that they're happy that he's, you know, put so much time and money into fighting it. I would reckon it's housing.
Are the bylaws in Burnaby as such that if you say take down a rental facility, some, you know, one of those 3-4 story things that we used to see when we'd take the SkyTrain through Burnaby, those don't get replaced in, say, whatever new building is being built in that place or in some other place in the city?
Yeah, that hasn't been the case exactly.
Yeah.
But going forward, we got first sign of this in July, I think. Council has really reversed course, and they've really changed course. They stepped out and sort of aggressively went after. They want to be the first municipality in BC to use the new rental zoning powers that the province recently granted cities. And they're saying, they're basically saying, every rental unit that is being demolished will be replaced on a 1-to-1 ratio at, you know, they're saying at a similar rent. There's no real hard numbers on what similar rent means. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know, they want to find a way to ensure that anybody that's displaced has a new place to go and like has that, you know, something along the lines of right to first refusal at a new unit. Their critics would say that, you know, they've had years to come up with a plan like this.
Yeah.
Their critics say they didn't have to wait for this rental zoning power. They could have used inclusionary zoning and other powers. People in Burnaby are especially fond of pointing to New West, which hasn't had the same number of loss of rental units.
New West has changed a great deal. And yet they don't get the same sort of problems that Burnaby has had. I mentioned riding the train through there. It has changed a great deal, and I guess that's the future. I mean, whether it's South Burnaby or North Burnaby, you're going to see along the main corridors, whether it's a SkyTrain or a low heat highway, these towers going up, right?
Yeah, and I think that you know there was a good. It's always interesting to see how outsiders look at our city. I don't know if you heard, there was that Seattle Times piece a few months ago, and it sort of praised, you know, urban planning in Metro Vancouver as like the future of what Seattle might look like in 20 years. And they mentioned that exactly about how these big towers, lots and lots of densification built up along these SkyTrain stations. And I think a lot of people would say that's a good plan. That's a good way to plan and build a city. But if you're demolishing the only really affordable, or not the only, but the one of the biggest, most dense, you know, affordable rental stocks in the region, that's probably not the way to do it.
The transportation issue and how that's a Corrigan has contended with that or has dealt with that. I mean, he has some role, I guess, with the TransLink board in terms of new infrastructure being built in Burnaby. I guess it's pretty much the SkyTrain line and the one that runs on low heat. I can't remember the name of it right now. Oh, the Millennium line, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it right now. I mean, they're building out here.
Yeah.
To out west.
To Arbutus.
Yeah.
So the one that I've actually been interested in, just because it's really interesting,
yeah,
is people who have called for a gondola to go up to SFU.
Mm.
And I mean, that's just, gondolas are obviously super fun
cool.
and super cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nerd, I actually printed off like the TransLink feasibility study that they did on it. I'm going to try to read it at some point this weekend, so I haven't looked at it yet.
McElroy's probably read it though.
Oh, probably several times, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that's interesting. I've asked all the mayoral candidates about it. They all basically said the same thing. They basically said, oh, I don't know, maybe someday. You know, that might be nice. There certainly is, you know, many would argue lacking transit access to SFU.
Yeah, I mean, if it snows, I mean, the place is shut down, isn't it? The buses can't go up, and then, of course, the road's closed going up the hill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a gondola would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, one issue that, and again, I'm new, this is sort of what I've just gathered secondhand, one issue that people have raised is privacy, because you might be going over someone's house and you know, peering down in on them. So that's a question.
It's an unexpected consequence, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I guess you don't really think about that when you think about transportation infrastructure and stuff like that. But I think a lot of like homeowners in that area have raised that concern.
Yeah. So I mentioned Burnaby Douglas, which is the riding that Mr. Stewart, I guess, vacated so that he could run for mayor here. And that's now become a source of national attention because Jagmeet Singh is intending to run there.
Yeah.
There's no date yet on a by-election, is there?
No, it hasn't been set yet. We don't know when that's going to be. I would imagine that Trudeau will make that announcement sometime in the next month or two. That's sort of what I'm betting on. I've been trying to I've asked the PMO a couple times, and I've asked, you know, Elections Canada, and I haven't really got any word on that.
So let's say he calls the election after. That's in the next month or so. So then the campaign's about a month. So let's say before Christmas, is that where the betting money is going as to when the election will be, the by-election?
I don't know. Yeah, because I think you need to know at least – because as far as for Elections Canada, you'll have to like plan it out and stuff. I don't know if there's – what that period looks like. It might be more like in the new year.
Okay.
So yeah, if whoever wins that by-election, it might be a really short term before the federal election next October.
And Singh's not a walk in terms of winning that because Kennedy Stewart wasn't a walk either the last time around.
No.
He won that, what, about 500 votes or something like that?
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, what's your sense as to whether people will – because he came out pretty heavy against the pipelines, especially in light of his own party in Alberta.
He is now.
Yeah.
But he was in a really tough spot there and it's not often that you have, you know, two members of the same party, the Premier of Alberta and BC, completely at odds with one another on a huge issue like the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So Jagmeet Singh, I don't know if he sat on the fence necessarily, but he delayed really making a declarative statement about it for a little while. He said, you know, he wanted to meet with both the premiers and talk it out and this and that. But yeah, he is very strongly against the pipeline.
And so what's your sense as to say his chances now, considering... Well, what happened the last election and everything else politically that's happening in Burnaby especially. I mean, the pipeline thing, coming out against it, it probably didn't hurt him, did it?
No, I don't think it would have hurt him.
Yeah.
But I think, I can't remember who was saying this, but someone, you know, smarter than me that knows about politics was, you know, remarking on the fact that when he announced, and I was there at the announcement, that he didn't really talk about the pipeline until the very end of his speech, and it wasn't the meat of it. What he's really concentrating on is housing and pharmacare, and really pushing for this pharmacare program. I think that's going to be, you know, sort of a signature issue for the NDP going into the by-election and into the next federal election.
The demographics for Burnaby, I mean, the city at large, not just Burnaby Douglas, but the city at large, I mean, that's changing a great deal because of all the development.
Mm-hmm.
We used to think, you know, that's where, you know, older people lived, you know, to retire, because, you know, the three-story walk-up is probably easier, or it's probably affordable as well. I mean, if the demographics changed a great deal in Burnaby, I mean, is it becoming more urbanized, isn't it?
It's becoming more urbanized, you know, and we talked about that densification around SkyTrain stations, and especially in the four town centers. As far as the actual, like, hard numbers go, I don't really know. I haven't Yeah. I'm sure Justin McElroy has, but I haven't spent hours just, you know, digging through the census data and stuff like that.
Well, what does it look like when you walk down the street? Does it seem like Vancouver, or is it still, you know, sort of sleepy Burnaby that we've, say, grown up with?
I'd say it's a little sleepier than, obviously, like, you know, downtown Vancouver or something like that. But in a lot of ways, you know, you're going around there. If I didn't know otherwise, just walking down the streets and stuff, I could easily still be an East Van. You know, in a lot of ways, it seems like, you know, an extension of East Van.
Just the signs are different.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you talk about demographics, what I think about a lot is, you know, it's been several years ago, but Chad Skelton did this sort of look at the data, and he, by the measure that he used, Burnaby is the most diverse municipality in the region. And that's the sort of methodology was, if you were to take two people randomly, the chances of them being of a different ethnic background,
yeah,
and it's much higher in Burnaby than anywhere else.
Yeah,
which I find very interesting. You know, because there's certain areas where, you know, certain you know, ethnic backgrounds and immigrant populations are more concentrated.
Yeah,
but it seems like everybody is in Burnaby almost in equal measure.
Yeah, what it's a lot different than covering Abbotsford, I'll bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Back to politics for just a sec. Sven Robinson, I mean, you had a story about him possibly returning to federal politics. That would be in a Burnaby riding, obviously.
Yes. So Sven Robinson, who was an MP for 25 years, he exited politics
rather
ignominiously. I think it would be fair to say in disgrace over this big scandal. He admitted to stealing a diamond ring. He's been out of politics for, I think, over 10 years now. He's been abroad for most of that. He's coming back to the region, and he told me he's thinking very seriously about it. I had been hearing the rumor for a while. I got him on the phone. If I were a betting man, I would say Sven Robinson will be coming for Terry Beach's seat in Burnaby North.
Yeah, that's one of those Liberal seats that the Liberals won that they shouldn't have won historically. I mean, they're technically not really Liberal ridings. It'd be, you know, the swing usually, I remember in the 80s, would be you would vote either Conservative or NDP, and usually that's the same voter, right?
Yeah.
So his chances are pretty good because he's well recognized in the community. But I mean, at the same time, he tried to run in Vancouver in the early 2000s and lost. I mean, do you think that it was Vancouver Centre, and that was a pretty tough race to begin with. I mean, it's a solid Liberal riding. What's your sense from talking to people in Burnaby? I mean, would he be, say, welcomed back?
You know, I haven't talked to a lot of people about this.
Yeah.
My bet is you'd have a very pretty good chance. I think, you know, as far as, you know, the stolen diamond ring, it's been a long time. Since then, he's spent his time doing really good work. He's been working, you know, different aid foundations based in Switzerland, you know, there's one, I can't remember exactly the name, but it's an AIDS foundation. Mm-hmm. And he certainly was well liked. I mean, he was a MP for 25 years, you know, very gregarious guy, as far as I know.
Even other parties liked him in the bio on him. I mean, he had a great friendship with Brian Mulroney and people like Jack Webster, even though they sparred on the air a lot. I mean, I think he came to like Robinson a lot because he was an activist sort of MP. And I guess in Burnaby's always had that streak, hasn't it, with the people that they've elected? I mean, you go back to Tommy Douglas ran there at one point as well. So, I guess he would not be out of place, would he?
No, and you know, I was sort of, you know, not super familiar with who he was, so I was definitely reading up on him when I was working on these stories and stuff. And for me, one thing that stood out is the fact that he was the first openly gay MP. And to think that, you know, being a younger person and, you know, having grown up in you know, progressive Victoria and this and that, to think that there's a guy that's still around that was, you know, that it was a huge deal back then. And now, you know, we have, I believe, several, you know, LGBT MLAs and MPs, and it's not nearly as big a deal as it used to be. So it's interesting to think about that, how just in this one individual's lifetime, how far it seems we've come.
Now, I mentioned in the introduction that I started following your work when you were, I guess you were working in Langley and in Abbotsford.
Mm-hmm.
Was that simultaneously, or was that?
No, I worked in Langley very briefly. That was my first job. Yeah. There was a bit of a sort of a personnel switcheroo that was a little bit out of my control.
Were switching papers and
it was switching people actually and forth.
Yeah.
So I was first hired at the Langley Times straight out of J school. I was very lucky. A week after graduating, I was working full time. And then I was only there, I think, for 10 weeks. And so technically on paper, what happened was I got laid off 10 weeks into my career.
Mm.
But in actuality, the way it worked out was it ended up being like a transfer to the Abbotsford News. And I spent about 2 years at the Abbotsford News.
And as I said, a lot of us started following your work there. They say that in your business, in journalism, that working at a community paper, I mean, that's really where you learn your craft, isn't it?
It definitely is. And you know, the program that I went to at Langara College, it definitely prepares you for everything. It prepares you for TV and radio and you know.
For layoffs.
Yeah, they do. They're honest about you. They're honest with you about that. But if anything, it prepares you for community reporting and you know, covering city council and that kind of thing.
I guess we tend to forget this unless it's a municipal election campaign. The community paper really does play such a vital part in the community.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if you're not reading the stories, we are providing a service because, you know, we're watching the local government.
Yeah.
And you know, myself, I'm the only person that's, you know, covering Burnaby City Hall on a regular basis. Certainly during the election, there's more interest.
Yeah.
And, you know, others come in when there's a bigger story from the bigger dailies and stuff like that. But, yeah, if you know, one of us isn't there, maybe they're not, you know, looking through the budget to see where they're spending, not looking at, you know, who's getting paid what or you know, or even just, you know, asking why this plan to improve the sidewalks in your neighborhood wasn't being done. You know, we're keeping an eye on these folks.
Or covering, say, the school board a panel or candidates for school board panel, as your paper did last week.
Yes.
That broke out into fisticuffs, I understand.
Yeah, I don't know if it quite got to fisticuffs. It definitely got heated.
A lot of shoving. And
yeah, so I wasn't there. My colleague Cornelia Naylor covers school board stuff for us. And so, yeah, it's this issue of the SOGI 123, which is, you know, the education resource about sexual orientation and gender identity. And there's this one candidate in particular, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. She's a firebrand, but very, very socially conservative person. And she's basically running her whole campaign on this idea that, you know, these resources meant to help teachers, you know, understand and teach kids about different identities is just terrible. And they're brainwashing the kids.
She thinks it's an indoctrination tool. Which, if people look at it closely, it is not. She doesn't live in Burnaby. She's come from another part of the region to run in Burnaby. She gets into arguments with Tamara Taggart on Twitter, and she's getting a lot of press. I mean, we saw her on the news, especially over the Marissa Shen matter when that went to court. What are her chances in getting a seat on school board there in Burnaby?
That's really tough to tell. I don't think there's going to be any polling around individuals for Burnaby School Board.
We'll have to ask Mario to.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. You know what? That's really tough to tell, to say what her chances are, because she certainly doesn't have majority support, but she does have a very active, strong base of support. It's hard to tell, you know, how big that is. In the past, when folks have run on similar campaigns, they haven't got on. There was a group called Parents' Voice that ran a few years ago. I had some stories about how some of those members are trying to clean themselves of that past and now running for under the Burnaby First banner for council. Does she have a chance? If I had to bet, I would say she doesn't get on.
Mm.
But I would also say, you know, don't count her out. And if you don't like what she's saying and what she's trying to do, maybe go out and vote for people that are actually going to, you know, fight to keep these anti-bullying policies in place and, you know, fight for the interests of all children, but especially, you know, gay and trans and other LGBTQ folks.
That lady that ran in the last municipal election who wanted to ban public displays of affection.
Yes.
She's running again, isn't she?
She sure is. Sylvia Gung is once again running for mayor.
And I guess a lot of us noticed, it's one of the things I guess we noticed at the last election in Burnaby was because she ran.
Yes.
You interviewed her recently, I understand?
Yeah, well, so on that policy platform, she's backed off a little bit.
Oh, okay.
She told me that I think she said it was, she was a little bit mistaken on her part in the way she worded it. She didn't want to actually call for a ban on public displays of affection. She says she's still against that kind of thing, but maybe she just wants to educate people on why that's inappropriate. But she's got a new policy that she wants to put forward, and that's abolishing local elections.
Hmm. So, and I guess people can watch the video on the Burnaby Now site to, for her to articulate her view on that.
Sure.
By the way, I noticed when you were tweeting about that poll that came out about the mayoralty race, you got some tweets from people who were, say, I don't know, criticizing your tweet about it. I mean, people are wondering the veracity of the poll because it was, I guess, commissioned by the by one,
the firefighters union.
Yeah, so one group that's probably predisposed to one of the candidates already.
Definitely.
The sort of rhetoric that you're hearing from people on Twitter, I mean, it's obviously the discourse is not terribly good on Twitter in general. Are you noticing that some of the tactics that say supporters of people like Doug Ford in Ontario or Donald Trump in the United States, is that permeating the sort of discourse, the election campaigning that you're seeing online, say?
Not overwhelmingly so. You know, there's a small handful of very partisan, you know, local Burnaby people.
Activist types, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, activist type, I wouldn't, you know, put in that category. There's, you know, there's some housing activists and stuff from Acorn and stuff. And yeah, they're very, you know, they obviously don't like Corrigan very much at all. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they like to say so. Most of those folks I wouldn't put in that category because for the most part it's, you know, it's harsh criticism and it's, you know, they're bold about it, but it's not personal attacks. It's not unnecessary. There's some folks on both sides that are more like that, and anything anyone does is just like awful and terrible and it's sort of unproductive, I find.
Yeah,
so I think for the most part it's okay. I mean, between Hurley and Corrigan themselves, there is no love lost. They do not like each other. You know, there's people like Corrigan would say, you know, like Hurley just resents him because there was a big fight between the city and the firefighters union a few years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't have much nice to say about one another.
So we're a couple weeks, say, or less before the election. I mean, if one was a betting person, that mayoralty race itself is a toss up, isn't it?
It certainly seems so. I mean, I'm hoping to see some more polling, but it definitely seems like a toss-up.
Now, in the case of let's say, one of the two candidates, say, emerging as the winner, does their respective slate go with them, or are you going to see, say, a split council as we're expecting here in Vancouver?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting thing, because Corrigan is a member of the BCA. As I said before, they've held every single seat.
They're running a full slate, I'm assuming.
And school board. They held every seat in the last three elections. Hurley's running as an independent. He's not running with anybody.
Mm.
So, and I've asked him about this a couple times, you know, well, you're so critical and you're running against how bad, you know, policy has been from City Hall in recent years. But there's a very good chance that you're going to be mayor and there's going to be eight people sitting around you
one seat, right?
Who were there and who are, you know, voting for and putting forward these policies. And, you know, he says he knows most of the councillors. He can work with them. You know, he's a collaborator and that, you know, he'll be able to sort of, you know, have his voice and his vision go forward, even if it is those opponents. As far as who gets on council, you know, there's some challengers. There's two other real slates. There's the Burnaby First Coalition. They're kind of center-right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Green Party that has both of those slates are running six candidates for council.
And they're not endorsing anyone for mayor?
The Greens have endorsed Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
They had former DOA, actually current DOA frontman Joe Keithley running for mayor. Keithley dropped out of the race and endorsed Hurley a couple months ago. That was a big deal. That was sort of, that seemed to suggest that, you know, opposition was, you know, coalescing around Hurley. The Burnaby First Coalition, they had intended to run a mayoral candidate. Then they decided not to. Their wording of their press release when they announced that was a little bit interesting. they're not quite endorsing him, but I think they're sort of suggesting people that vote for him. They said something along the lines like, well, we want change, and if people want change, they should vote for Hurley, but if they want more of the same, they should vote for Corrigan. But they didn't say, you know, we're endorsing Hurley. So.
Yeah.
And then there's a smattering of independents. There's Lee Rankin, who was on council for 23 years. He's running as an independent. And then there's two other independents.
For council, yeah. It seems when I read your tweets that you're having. I mean, it's obviously a job for you, but I mean, you're having fun at the same time doing this.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, you know, people listening to us who might be considering journalism, what was it for you that say pushed you into that direction, into that career?
Yeah, that's a funny question because, you know, I was speaking with one of my colleagues about this the other day. When you speak to journalists, quite often they have this story about, oh, you know, growing up, my parents were always reading the paper, and I read the paper constantly, and I was always involved in news, and, you know, from a young age, I always knew I was going to be a reporter. I had none of that. I had no idea I wanted to get into journalism. After high school, I had no interest in going to post-secondary. I traveled a little bit. I went tree planting every summer, by the time I was 22 or 23, I'd worked over 20 different jobs. And at one point I was like, you know what? I think I want to go to school.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, I want to do journalism and I have to go to school to do it. I decided to go to school. I decided journalism seemed kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then I think about 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks into journalism school, I was like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. And I've been basically doing it ever since.
I'm sure a lot of people around you probably thought you were silly to do that because the journalism business is a tough business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really tough business, and you know, I was very lucky to get the job when I did. The paper where I started, the Langley Times, when I was there, it just recently went from 5 reporters to 2 reporters, and now there's 1 reporter because 1 has left. So I would have been caught up in those layoffs if I had stuck around there. You know, that there's Black Press has 2 papers in Langley right now. So it's only a matter of time until it shuts down one of those and lays off more people. I remember even that first week when I worked there, or around when I first started there, is when 24 Hours laid off all its editorial staff, including my current editor, Chris Campbell. It's daunting, you know, and it's tough to look forward to a career. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, maybe I would work at a local paper and then maybe, you know, move up to a Metro Daily. Maybe, you know, find myself at the Vancouver Sun or something in a couple of years. And that path just doesn't really exist anymore. The Sun and Province haven't hired someone in 5 years now.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it goes back to a previous point that we made, that the role of the community paper is still a vital part of the
absolutely
the ecosystem in terms of not just journalism itself, but the community itself that people, you know, turn to these things, and people are reading these things and not just reading the flyers that come with them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I so appreciate you coming in to do this. It's a pleasure to meet you. As I said, I was a great admirer of your work for a long time now, and this has been fun to say look at this region from your Burnaby lens. I appreciate you coming in to do this.
Oh, thanks a lot. I've had a good time. A lot of fun.
At Kelvin Gawley is the Twitter handle. BurnabyNow.com is the website. Kelvin Gawley, join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.